Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 10th of August. I'm Paul White. Glad you're with me today as we are journeying into 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. I don't know if you did your homework. The homework I assigned you was to check this out. I'm sure took it as an assignment. It was to check this passage out in various translations. Let's start with the one that we read from most of the time in our studies, the New King James. By the way, I don't read from the New King James because I feel it's a superior translation. I read from the New King James because I was raised reading the King James. The New King James is familiar in tone. If you were raised on the New King James, it just gets rid of the thous and the shouts. And I actually heard a Bible scholar that I greatly respect one time say that he felt like the King James was the worst translation in regards to using the original Greek, and the only one worse than that would be the New King James. He said because it loses the only thing the King James had to offer of beauty, and that was the beautiful literature. Okay, well, in that case, then I'm using the absolute worst. I don't look at it that way. I don't take the translation at face value, regardless of which one it is. So what I mean by that is I like to dig into, try to find a little bit more from the original, from the Greek. And so if that's a problem, you probably aren't really a follower of the DDP, because that's what we do. We try to dig into the Greek as much as possible. And sometimes it helps to go to cross translations, because then you can get an idea about what other translators saw when they were looking at the Greek. Let's look at the New King James. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the King James version of that passage, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You'll notice immediately that the words that pop in the New King James are homosexuals and sodomites at the end of verse 9. In the New King James, it's effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. And so we certainly have a different usage there. Now, of course, the word homosexual wasn't a word that was in the vernacular in 1611, and so you end up with abusers themselves of mankind. Let's see what other translations do with this. I asked you to look at the ASV. This is the American Standard Version. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then the Message, and I want you to see the Message, because it's less a word-for-word translation from the Greek and more of an interpretation. Here's 9 and 10. Don't you realize that this is not the way to live? Unjust people who don't care about God will not be joining in his kingdom. Those who use and abuse each other, use and abuse sex, use and abuse the earth and everything in it, don't qualify as citizens in God's kingdom. I like the thought process Eugene Peterson uses there. Because you get his continuous reusage of use and abuse. So you've got people who use and abuse each other, people who use and abuse sex, people who use and abuse the earth and everything in it. And there's something to be said for that line of thinking, because it would seem that Paul does deal with how people use one another, how people use sex, and how people use the earth and treat the people on it. It's really a treatment of one another and a treatment of themselves in the 9th and 10th verses. And he says, people that are living this way, and who are those that are living this way? We talked about it yesterday, the unrighteous, the unworthy, and the unbeliever. They don't have an inheritance in the kingdom. They're not going to have an inheritance. Now, back to the Greek, because that's where we really dig in. And these verses have been a source of a lot of contention for people, because the New King James lists off sodomites and homosexuals. People will take things like 1 Corinthians 6 and say, sodomites, homosexuals, none of these people go to heaven. And while that might be the case, I don't think that's what Paul's saying. And I think we established that yesterday. He's not saying they'll go to heaven. He said they don't have an inheritance in the kingdom. In other words, the inheritance is part of what they don't have now. But is this what the Greek says? And that's the most important question. Let's start with fornicators. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters. The word fornicators is from the Greek word pornos. It doesn't take a real big stretch to see what word we get from the Greek word pornos, by the way. Pornos is literally someone who prostitutes their body to someone else's lust. It's even been used in the Greek as a male prostitute. But it's unlawful sexual intercourse. It's almost always translated as fornicator. It's a word that's ancient. It predates the Bible. It's been used by Greek writers forever, and it's been used mostly as a male prostitute. But it's used as fornicators in the traditional sense that we know it. About it. Paul's the first usage, 1 Corinthians 5, we said, I wrote to you not to company with fornicators. And then he said, yet not with all fornicators, because you'd have to go out of this world. You remember that from 5, 9, 10, and 11. And then it pops up again in Ephesians, Paul uses it, no whoremonger, that's the word that gets translated in the King James, he uses it to Timothy, and then the writer of Hebrews uses it a couple of times, as well as the writer of the book of Revelation. And it's put on the same... It's put in the same par as sorcery and murderers and liars in Revelation 22. This is not just a sexual problem, but it seems to go a little deeper than that. We, of course, take the word pornography, and that's something that is illicit of a sexual nature. And so those who participate in this and make this part of their lifestyle don't walk in their inheritance of the kingdoms. Nestled into the middle of that is idolaters and adulterers. These are two different things, of course. Idolaters are those who make and worship other gods, and adulterers are those who break the covenant of marriage. Neither of those walk into the fullness of the inheritance. Nobody really struggles with that. It's the next two that cause problems, and that's the word that the New King James translates sodomite. It's the word that the King James translates effeminate, and it's the Greek word malekos. And I think malekos is an interesting word because it is a word not used very often in the New Testament. It only appears four times. And when you first read it, it's also used, by the way, a lot in ancient Greek. Homer in the Odyssey uses the word, and it's used again in the Iliad. It most often means in Greek literature what it meant the first time we saw it in the New Testament, which is what makes this a very almost weird usage by Paul in 1 Corinthians. Here's the first time you saw this word in the Greek. It's back in Matthew 11. Jesus is talking about John the Baptist, and he says to the crowd, "What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, those that wear soft clothing are in king's houses." And Jesus uses the Greek word malekos, and it's translated soft. The Gospel of Luke uses the same word when in the same story. Did you go see a man clothed in malekos raiment, a man clothed in soft raiment? Whenever Homer in the Odyssey and the Iliad uses the Greek word malekos, it's soft raiment. Now, there is a little bit, at least another usage in ancient Greek of this word being used in a bad sense metaphorically, which is used of a catamite. That's a word we don't use much anymore. And a catamite was a male who used his body for unnatural lewdness, unnatural sex. And that seems to be where Paul takes that in 1 Corinthians 6. I just find it interesting that it's both the word for soft and then it's used as a way to describe sex between males. You can see why the King James translated the word effeminate, because it would sound weird to say, don't be deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers or soft or abusers of themselves, mankind. It's like you go too many places with the word soft. The other word from the verse, the other one that has caused a lot of stress, is a big Greek word that's actually a compound Greek word, arsenokoites. Arsenokoites is the word that the New King James translates homosexual. It's from two Greek words. One is the Greek word for men, and the other is the Greek word for bed, which is interesting, which is why we take it to mean men in bed, or as it's translated as homosexual, one who lies with a male as with a female. It is used only twice in the New Testament, only by Paul, once here, once in 1 Timothy 1, when he talks about, uses it in the same context. Now, what do we do with it? My answer is, I don't know. What I do know is you got to leave stuff in context, okay? And in context, here's what we know. People who practice these lifestyles, because Paul, we know it's practice, not do, because Paul will turn right around and tell the Corinthians that they're not these things. Even though it's obvious they're doing these things, that's the whole point of the context. But he says, you're not these things. In other words, by not being them, some of these things need to clean up, need to stop. But however you translate them, those who practice these things are people who do not walk in the fullness of their inheritance. And however we end up with this text, what we can walk away confidently in saying is this. If you knew who you were, if you knew you were righteous and worthy and a believer, you would know that you have an inheritance in the kingdom. You would know that you're washed and sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's where this text is going. And you wouldn't be practicing these other things. And so whether it's you wouldn't be a thief or you wouldn't be a sodomite, the context holds true. Believers have an inheritance that those who practice other things don't have. And I think the moment you walk into the realization of your inheritance, a lot of the practices of this world will mean less to you, because your inheritance means more. We move on tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.